For West Ham fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. For match highlights, interviews and the best West Ham videos and podcasts. Download the free COY Irons app now from the App Store and Google Play.
On episode 69 of the Green Street Hammers podcast, myself, Adam, Lou, and Aaron stop by to talk about West Ham's midweek matchup with Chelsea and try and squeeze any bit of positivity we can out of this pending fixture. We also talk about David Moyes and the option of who should start at right back thanks to Hammers Poll's question. Keep it locked on the Green Street Hammers podcast. All right, welcome to the Green Street Hammers podcast. This is a hopefully quick and abbreviated episode 69 for you here, where we're previewing West Ham's midweek clash, Canada Day clash, for those Canadian supporters out there like Aaron and myself, with Chelsea. But first, let's say hi to the gentleman that we have here with us. Lou, it's been a little while, but how are you doing, good sir?
Yeah, good to be back. Not as looking forward to watching West Ham as I was looking forward to being back on the podcast, but that's a separate issue, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you know what? The positivity and excitement of having football back has quickly turned into just realism when it comes to West Ham, so I feel your pain with that one. And as mentioned, Aaron, it is a Canada Day spectacular for us and West Ham, so I'm excited to have a game to watch on my holiday and also to talk about the preview with you. So how's it going, Aaron?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch West Ham on Canada Day. Hopefully they don't put too much of a damper on the day. But after a week back, I think we're all pretty accustomed to the feeling of supporting West Ham. So it shouldn't be a shocker.
Everything's right back to normal. I guess we should start. I mean, we're going to talk all things West Ham and Chelsea heading into this match. But the biggest thing to pop off since West Ham's loss is basically that West Ham Twitter and West Ham social media has completely turned on David Moyes, and it was already headed that direction. But another game with Antonio up top for the entire match, another game with no real game plan, has seen West Ham sort of fall apart here. And we've already gone on about, you know, David Moyes and his quote unquote tactics for the Tottenham match and how disappointing that was, and also the player efforts. But I want to get your guys' opinion here. It doesn't seem, all the ITKs are saying that it doesn't really matter what happens with West Ham this season. Moyes is going to be the man for the job, regardless of it, finishing the Premier League season, staying up, or managing in the Championship next season. It seems like it's going to be David Moyes' position to lose. Have you had a major switch in your thoughts on David Moyes, and are you still of the belief that he can at least get something going here for West Ham? Lou, I want to come to you first here. Are you resigned to Moyes staying at the club right now, or would you like to push for him to leave too?
Yeah, at this point, well, when he first came the second time around at New Year, I think, like many fans, I was quite opposed to the idea because, you know, we got rid of him once. Why would he be good enough now? But, you know, we're... And then, obviously, we had quite a lot of bad results, but towards the end, just before the break, we were looking quite sharp. We were looking fluid. The results weren't necessarily coming in by the Southampton match, but you could see we might have turned the corner. And I think the break came just at the completely wrong time when things were beginning to click. And you know, obviously, it goes without saying, since we've been back, we've been hopeless and not good enough. And Moyes has looked completely devoid of any ideas, and he's been very reactive with his decisions in terms of substitutions rather than proactive. Like at 0-0 against Tottenham, he waits until we go a goal down to start bringing attacking players on, and when Tottenham didn't look great, they looked quite vulnerable, if anything, and by that time it was too late. And I think he, with the momentum that we had before the break, things might have gone a bit different, but I think we've lost all that now.
Yeah, I'm finding a hard time disagreeing with you there, and I'll let you finish, but there was momentum going into the break here, the unpredictable break, as it were, and it just seemed to slowly get ripped away from the team. Sorry, Lou, finish up your thought there.
Yeah, there wasn't much more to say, really. It was just, it would have been nice to see what could have potentially happened if the unfortunate break didn't happen, but, you know, maybe it was just a tiny little purple patch and we've just gone back to the normality of David Moyes now anyway, so hopefully he can somehow keep us up. I think if we do stay up, it will be down to every other team being at as useless as us, rather than Moyes, you know, digging us out of the hole that we've got ourselves in. But I would like to see someone else in the new season, but I can't really see the owners admitting that they were wrong twice. So I think we're stuck with him, whatever.
Yeah, that seems to be the position there. They're almost, it's pride for sure, but it's also, I think they're trying to prove that managers can trust them as their bosses, basically, because the leash was so short. Moyes technically succeeded in avoiding relegation as his only goal in his first stint here, was sacked. They brought in Pellegrini, that failed, and then the only manager who seemingly wanted the job back, even with all of his first choice assistant coaches not wanting on to join us here. So it seems like there may be a thinner list of recruits as possible, but you know that Dyche link is looking enticing to me. Aaron, are you one of the Moyes out people? I know you've been trying to keep positive, and I try to do that as much as I can as well. But I mean, if you're not Moyes out, or even if you are, what's something we can at least hope for that would be positive for the end of the season here with Moyes at the helm?
I'm not quite Moyes out just yet. I think even prior to football returning, I've been, you know, fairly outspoken in my support of him. I really felt leading into the break, the way we had played, that momentum could continue, and he had kind of started to understand the way he needed to manage this group of players. I'm genuinely hoping that if, you know, Hilaire gets back into the mix, that he can start playing some of the way that the team played against, you know, not necessarily Liverpool, but against Southampton and Arsenal, where we were really, you know, really attacking, really carrying play. But, I mean, I agree with Lou fully. He seems absolutely kind of devoid of ideas right now. You know, I think Antonio is a far more effective player out in the wing. I don't understand why he's not willing to take a risk and put in Zander Silva or a Jetty, just because that's their natural position. That's where they can play. And I often wonder sometimes, you know, like he just seems, in terms of his substitutions and how he sets the team up, that he's, you know, I wrote an article about, he's playing far too conservative, almost like a man who knows it's his last chance and he's kind of, you know, afraid to take any risks. And oftentimes if you're not going to take a risk, you kind of end up in that middle ground, and you know, it's just a dangerous spot to be. In terms of what could happen with him, I like the Dyche idea as well. Actually, I kind of mentioned it last week and I've really thought about it, and I think he could be a really good fit. You watch the way his teams play, he demands effort from them. It'd be a good opportunity for him, but I'm not quite there yet. I hope they turn it around, but I mean, I wrote the article that was about positivity last week, and most of the responses were basically just saying, in terms of what David Moyes can do to get confidence back, and it's leave seemed to be the most common response I got. So that's where everybody's at right now.
You know what? And as funny as that is, I'm almost on that same wavelength as just leave. I think, you know, Nevins or Kevin Nolan could do a better job, but or even Dmitry Hajelko, or whatever his name is, the under-23s coach. So I'm of the same belief with you guys. I think he's not the solution to the problem, but I also think we need to settle down and realize the club that we're at. We have bad owners. We know that. We are in a relegation battle, and it seems to be a perennial relegation battle, if we're being honest here. And despite being able to attract top talents, like Felipe Anderson and Sebastian Allaire are top talented players, but they're not that upper echelon of like absolutely going to work players. So the fact that we lose Sebastian Allaire right now, and that seems to be the scapegoat for all these problems. Imagine if we had lost Declan Rice, or, you know, we have lost Angelo Ogbonna, we have lost Lucas Fabianski, but, you know, Declan Rice is the best player on the pitch for us at all times. Think of the excuses we'd have for them. We might as well just say we're going to League One, because, you know, there's no way we could compete with Declan Rice out of the team. But that's just showing so many more issues when you look at the Hilaire situation with Moyes, with the board, with everything, with how this team's constructed. There's no plan B outside of Antonio running like a madman for, you know, 90 minutes. So Yeah, there's no resolution to that problem, but I do think Moyes can dig himself out of this issue against Chelsea in one way, and that's basically playing his best players, making a gamble or two, and trying to at least spark something. It came out this week, I think, Football London or Football.London. Sam Ingersoll, I believe, wrote a piece on Moyes not trusting Albion Ajeti or Zonda Silva in a relegation battle, which to me is completely ridiculous when you don't have any other options. X then followed up saying that Allaire is most likely not going to be risked against Chelsea as we play Newcastle on the weekend anyways. If you're not going to use Sebastian Allaire, it would make sense to bring in someone like West Ham played 4-4-2 in these matches or some variation of it, with even with Felipe Anderson up top. You need to play two strikers. You should play two strikers if you're going to stick to 4-4-2 and not wedge someone in there. Why not play, you know, my desired 11 had Andrei Yarmolenko and Zonda Silva up top. A tall player who can shoot the ball from range, who's technically skilled, and a young, hungry, fast player who can run the channels and hopefully get on the end of a nice ball. Makes sense to me. It's not even all that difficult. And I just want something imaginative here. Lou, what are your thoughts on the starting 11? Do you think we're going to see the same formation as a 4-4-2, or do you think there'll be something different, maybe 4-2-3-1, something that hopefully can spur us forward, or is it more of the same from Moyes?
Yeah, I think against Chelsea it'll be more of the same. Obviously, you got to respect your opponent. Chelsea are bang on form since the restart. They beat Man City last week and just beat Leicester the other day in the FA Cup. But, we're at home. We've got 60,000 fans behind the Bobs. we're still at home. We've simply got to start picking up points, so we've got to go for it. Chelsea aren't some, they're on form, but they're not some all-conquering side who, like Man City or Liverpool, who we're just not going to get anywhere near. We can take the game to them, but I'm just not sure whether Moyes will go in with that attitude, especially playing two up top. But to be fair, I think if we do play two up top, we'll be playing two in the middle, and then we'll get completely overrun by whoever's in Chelsea's three, and Declan Rice will be left to sweep up on the midfield on his own again. So I can see why he wouldn't choose that formation, but I would like some form of attacking variety within the team, whether that's an attacking 4-3-3 with Bowen and whoever on the other wing. But like you say, I would like to see Yarmolenko given a go up top. He's got the quality, he's got the technical prowess. Like you say, he's a good finisher. And it certainly can't be worse than putting Antonio there, who just looks lost. And like Aaron said before, his best position is on the wing. His most effective position is on the wing. And, he can also support Yarmolenko when needed. He's better as a support man than the actual striker. So I don't even know what I want against Chelsea. It's difficult to say.
Just something different, maybe.
I just want whoever is on the pitch just to show effort and passion, that which we've certainly lacked in the last two games since the restart. And I want to, even if we do end up losing, I want to know that every player out there has put the bodies online, put 100% on whatever they can into that game. And I think that would bode a lot better going into the more winnable fixtures that we've got coming up.
Yeah, and I mean, that should be a baseline effort and desire to be out there, but it's not a guarantee these days. Aaron, what are your thoughts on formation? What do you want to see, and is there any players off the bench? I know you have been an admirer of Zonda Silva, I believe, in some writings here, but who would you like to see for West Ham make an impact, or at least be given a chance, and in what formation, as I mentioned, would you like to see West Ham line up?
I took a look at the match back from, I think it was November, when David Martin was in net. West Ham won 1-0, and we played an attacking mind like Pellegrini actually set up as a 4-1-4-1, believe it or not. And I was looking at that, and I mean, that kind of summed up where Pellegrini was at that point. He was even starting to maybe a shell of the person he once was. But I'm kind of comfortable going with some with that type of position with, you know, three in the center of the park. And then I would really like to see, you know, Yarmolenko actually up top. I really like that idea. Yeah, he's not fast, but he's not afraid to shoot. He knows how to play that position. He gets himself in the right areas. And if you can get Bowen and Antonio out on the wings, you know they're both going to work their ass off. It's almost going to be like a 4-5-1 that turns into a 4-3-3 when we get the ball and start moving forward. I don't think we can see Pablo Fornals out on the wing again. He just doesn't have the pace to make teams pay if we do turn the ball over. You know, there we talked about the Spurs game when he was basically operating as a left back at certain points in the game. So yeah, they know, opponents know it, that they don't even have to worry about that side of the pitch. So I'm comfortable going with that kind of more defensive style, like a 4-1-4-1. But I really think you have to have Bowen and Antonio on the wings and just, you know, give them the freedom to try to, you know, make Chelsea pay on the counterattack.
Yeah, you guys have won me over, because I was thinking a 4-4-2 with better or different players picked would maybe make more of a difference. But I'm all on board with this 4-4-3 now. Fornals centrally, Rice and Souček behind him kind of anchoring the team. And then Antonio playing left wing with Felipe Anderson able to play that off the bench. And then as well, up top as a striker, Andrei Yarmolenko given a shake. And I think the only time he's played striker for West Ham was against Chelsea, and West Ham drew them 0-0. And he was being called blockhead in the change room because he missed an open header, and they said it hit the corner of his head and went wide. I think Declan Rice was making fun of him for that. It was just before his Achilles injury. So I would like to see that. And then obviously Bowen on the right-hand side. And the team can be mixed and matched from there. And can also retreat into a 4-4-2 if need be. You know, you can have the team adjust. Even, you know, you can even have it just slide a little bit to the left almost, and Bowen drops back deeper, Fornals shifts out to the left, Antonio up top, 4-4-2, easy peasy, and the team can quote-unquote defend better like that. But I think a big change for West Ham will be having Angelo Ogbonna back. In hindsight, I'm appreciative that he didn't play against Spurs, because I don't think he would have been a difference maker by himself, because that game, again, was just more pointing a spotlight on Moyes and his tactical ineptitudes there. But it does seem like Angelo Ogbonna will be back to start. Aaron, I want to come to you here. It's probably guaranteed we'll be playing a four-at-the-back situation set up here. Ogbonna is a must-start if he does play. But Issa Diop has been okay, shaky at times. And Balbuena has come in once and been good. And ironically, Moyes didn't trust him either, but he came in and played really well, actually. So would you play Balbuena and Ogbonna, or would you go with Diop and Ogbonna at center back here?
The match back in November, it was Balbuena and Ogbonna at center back for West Ham. So if you're looking at that for perspective, you know, they've had some success against Chelsea, although granted it's a much different Chelsea team than they've been putting on the pitch the last few matches. But I thought Balbuena played really well. Diop's kind of he's kind of been hit or miss, especially in the game since we've been back. But I mean, Ogbonna and Diop did also get a nice little pairing going into the going before lockdown and whatnot. So I think you kind of have to revert to what was working then. That would be my kind of try to get back to the status quo.
Lou, do you have anything different to say about that? Would you still pick Diop over Balbuena, or would you make a switch?
Yeah, Balbuena did play quite well against Tottenham, to be fair. He looked solid enough, but I just think I'm just not a fan of his at the minute. I think whenever he gets the ball, he just doesn't look comfortable. He looks to just hoof it away as soon as possible without thinking about, you know, the options he has around him and the best course of action. And I think, and it reminds me a little bit of James Collins, actually. He used to do that, as good as a defender he was. But yeah, I think we need a bit of calmness and reassurance in the team. And when that panic starts to set in, you know, from the back, I think it kind of breeds through the team. So I would like to see Diop and Ogbonna partnership reunited for the Chelsea match.
That's fair.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's fair to say there. And I wanted to take a step completely out of football here, or, you know, the actual match related, and get your thoughts on the guy's new kit. Your guys' thoughts, rather, on the new kit. 120th anniversary kit came out. Very similar to the, was it the last season at the Bolin kit that they had, 2016, with the claret body, blue sleeves on it. Very simple. I like the banner under the badge saying 125 years. It makes it look special and different, which I really like. Again, I think Baz put out a an alternative logo, and it had, didn't have London on it, and it also had the little castle in between the crossed hammers at the top, and it looked really, really sharp. In all fairness, I think that's a better view, but I really like the badge. I like the kit. I'm a big fan of it. I will hopefully be copying one of these, but Lou, do you think you'll be adding this one to the collection, and what are your thoughts on it?
No, well, I don't generally buy replica shirts anyway, to be honest. I sometimes get retro ones from back in the day, but the ones they bring out now, I'm not too much of a fan of wearing.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I woke up and I saw it and I thought it was quite smart. I prefer the simplicity in kits rather than when they, you know, go overboard and things, so I didn't mind it. But then I saw everyone's comments, and generally most people that I saw were had negative opinions on it. They were saying it looks tacky, cheap, you know, quick design, have not really thought anything through, which I could see that side of it as well. So personally, from first view, I don't mind the look of it, but I can see why some people there wouldn't be a fan.
Aaron, what are your thoughts on it?
I really like it. I'm always a big fan, whether it's, you know, hockey, baseball, any sport really, of like a bit of a throwback or like that timeless kind of look. And I know it's, you know, obviously very comparable to the last season of the Bolin, but I really like that one as well. So, and I'm, I mean, being a bit of a purist as well, I really like white socks, white shorts. That's, you know, all the way it always was. Not that I'll be dressing up in full kit. I'm not one of those guys anymore. But yeah, I'm a big fan of that. And I mean, if the away kit is going to end up being, I haven't seen the official away kit yet. I don't know if they've been given. No, they haven't put those out. But if they're going to be look as they've been described, then I think I'll probably be getting one of those. Actually, I really like the sounds of that.
Yeah, the I think the away kit's going to be a claret and blue striped, at least for the top half horizontally, and then blue on the bottom. So that sounds nice. And I think X was describing the third kit as a black and gold sort of option there, which I think will be really nice as well. So we could be in for a good year of kits. I just hope it's, you know, Premier League kits, to say the least. Now, Lou, to check our you know, if it's just the loud minority that are making these claims about the kit being lame or unimaginative, and it's a throwback retro kit, so I don't know what you really want. But 71% of people voted on Hammers polls that they do like the new kit. And 62.6% then voted that they would not be buying the new kit. And West Ham Fan TV put out a question here that Hammers polls retweeted. The new kit, London on the badge or London off the badge? And as you can imagine, 88.5% said London off the badge. West Ham is East London and doesn't really need London being on the badge anyway. So I think we're probably all in agreement with a lot of those. But I do like the simple, simplistic, if we want a Canadian link to it here, Aaron, it's like the Blue Jays when they reinvented their old logo that they actually won championships with for the new team. Streamlined, sharp, looks nice, right?
Yeah, exactly. Timeless, classic. I agree with that. I mean, especially like if you look at the first season at the London Stadium, like remember that kit? That was just an abomination. So it's nice to just see something that's a throwback to like back when times were great back in the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. The good old days. Okay, I guess it's time to talk about predictions here. And I wanted to actually go back to our Hammers Polls friends here, our friend over at Hammers Polls, because they asked a really important question, I think, with how the team's going to line up. And we'll go through predicted 11s here. But I do want to see what you guys have to say about this. This question comes from Tony Pearson 2, at Tony Pearson 2, our favorite contributor to Hammers Pulls questions on a regular basis. And he's obviously outlined that Ngakia and Zabaleta are gone from the club as of June 30th, which leaves us short at right back. Fredericks is proven. Johnson's waiting for his chance. Who do you start out of those two, or do you pick somebody else? I don't know who else it would be, but somebody else at right back. Lou, I want to come to you first. Is it stick with Fredericks until he gets injured, or is it time to mix in Johnson and give him the Ngakia trial by fire against a top four team like Chelsea?
Yeah, obviously Johnson's had his injury troubles, but you know, by all accounts, he seems to be fit and raring to go now. So I think I probably would give him a go. And hopefully, you know, he does get that, you know, induction. I know he's played before, but another fresh induction. And hopefully he can play like Ngakia has been doing, because by all accounts, he was seen to be the better of the two. Before he got injured, and Fredericks just doesn't really impress me recently. He came on against Wolves and I think he was at fault for the goal, and he didn't impress me against Tottenham either, so I think Johnson can do a job there, and I'd like to see how he'd get on. It'd have a tricky game. I think he'd be probably up against Pulisic if he did, so he'd certainly need to be on the ball.
Yeah, and actually Pulisic may have taken an injury. I don't know if they're going to play him against us or not, but they are in, you know, as much as West Ham could get looked at and taken lightly by Chelsea, they are in a race for the top four with Spurs and Wolves and Manchester United all pushing behind them. So I think they'll actually start as strong a lineup as they are able to do here. And just to reference their recent fixture list, on the 21st of June, they beat Aston Villa 2-1. And then, as Lou, you'd mentioned, they beat Man City 2-1 in the FA Cup on the 25th of June. And yesterday they beat Chelsea. Sorry, that was a league match. And then yesterday they beat Chelsea in the FA Cup, I believe, for a 1-0 victory there with Ross Barkley scoring the only goal. So they have played more games than us in the last little while here. But I do still, like I said, expect them to play a really strong team to get points where they can, and West Ham certainly is where they can. Myself, I would go with Johnson just because I think you should try and preserve Fredericks' health as much as possible, and like you said, it's going to be an uphill battle anyway, so you might as well give Johnson some hard-nosed experience. What about you, Aaron? Who are you picking at right back for West Ham?
I'd like to see Johnson get an opportunity, but I mean, the way David Moyes has been since football started back up, I can't really see him putting in, you know, a relatively unproven youngster over what he views as the incumbent. You know, like when he put in Ngakia, it was over Zabaleta. And I mean, they were about to play at Liverpool, so we really didn't have much of a choice there. I mean, like I said, I would like to see Johnson get it, but I really don't see Moyes giving him that opportunity.
And you know what? Fredericks, I don't think, is bad. I think against Wolves, he was at fault for the second goal, I believe it was. But at the same point in time, I don't know why that substitution was made. Ngakia was playing fine. He actually grew into that game really, really well. In my opinion, he was making some really interesting touches and winning the ball back and actually helping West Ham. So I don't know why that change was made. It seems weird to change your fullback out, especially when he's 19 years old and doing fine in the match. I would have probably put Fredericks at left back and taken Cresswell out because Traore came on, but I don't get paid the big bucks, so whatever. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. I think we're all on the same board here. Johnson would be our desired pick, but none of us really have the belief that anything exciting is going to happen from this West Ham team, certainly against Chelsea. David Moyes may pick a more exciting team against Newcastle, but we'll have to wait and see. But anyways, we digress here. All right. Forget about predicted 11s because I think we've kind of gone through that a little bit. I just want your guys' score predictions here. So I want to see where we line up and our thoughts on, you know, how West Ham are going to repel that Chelsea attack and how well West Ham can capitalize on what limited chances they have. Aaron, I want to come to you first here. What do you think the scoreline is going to be? And if your prediction does have West Ham getting on the board, who do you have responsible for that, for the goal or goals that the Hammers can score?
I was feeling fairly confident thinking about the fact that Chelsea had, you know, three matches in the space of a week. We always kind of seem to have their number or come, you know, competitive against them. But I was actually looking at the lineups before we started to record, and they only have Conte, Willian, and Rudiger are the only three players who have started all of their past three matches. So their squad rotation's been, you know, pretty fantastic. They've done an excellent job. Obviously, have a lot more depth than we do, but I mean, Frank Lampard hasn't been afraid to change it up, unlike David Moyes. So that kind of took the wind out of my sails a little bit. So kind of, you know, I've tried to be positive, and I, you know, I'd love to see West Ham get a result here. But I mean, I think it's probably going to be 2-1 Chelsea, and I'll go with Jared Bowen for a goal.
Nice. I like that. I think he's deserved a goal, to say the least, in the start here. What about you, Lou? What's your score prediction, and do you have West Ham putting a goal in?
Yeah, but I think that goal may be a consolation goal, maybe. I'm just not confident at all after the last two matches. I just can't see where a goal in normal play is coming from at the minute. With we're not creating any chances, and like I mentioned before, Moyes is devoid of ideas, but so was our attack, and the only player who looks like doing something is Jared Bowen. So if he can muster up something, you know, out of the blue, that would be magical. In general, our defence hasn't looked too bad, and even though we've conceded four goals over the last two games, all the goals have been on when we perhaps got a little bit tired and the game's wearing on a bit. But if we can keep our concentration going on you know, the depths of the second half, I think we may be able to scrape a 0-0 out of it. But otherwise, realistically, I can't really see us stopping Chelsea scoring at the minute. So I'll probably go 1-0 Chelsea. But in a hopeful world, I'll say 1-1, where I agree Bowen might be most likely to get the goal.
Yeah, I was thinking 1-1, and that was going to be my hopeful one. I think it may be my hopeful one will be 1-1, and I think Yarmolenko will step up and get a goal with a limited opportunity to show he can be trusted and used, even at striker. I don't know if he'll start at striker, but I really hope that he would. I would peg him for a goal. Kepa's not the best at shots from range as it is, so I think you know, putting balls on net could be the ultimate game changer. That sounds so simple and almost stupid, but I think if West Ham shoot the ball and get it on net, it could change things offensively for them. Realistically, I'd say probably 2-0 Chelsea, and that may even be a little bit too optimistic. Giroud likes scoring against us, and he was not used or didn't start the match anyways against Leicester. Tammy Abraham did, so maybe we see Giroud step up, and he's always pretty clinical even when he was at Arsenal, so we'll see how that goes. Any final thoughts from any of us here? You guys have both really got me excited about a 4-4-3 with Yarmolenko, Bowen, and Antonio up top. So that's what I'm excited about. That's what I want to see more about. Aaron, anything else going into this game that excites you or has you nervous or anything in general?
Well, I feel I should throw in my hopeful, since I said a negative 2-1 loss. And I'll say my hopeful is to keep the tradition of the 1-0 victory for West Ham, like for my hopeful prediction. Okay. Yeah. And my final thought really is I was just glancing at if we want to look for any good omen, if anybody believes in that. But David Moyes actually got his first victory for West Ham against Chelsea back in December 2017. Marco Arnautovic scoring in the 6th minute, and then they parked the bus for 84. So let's just hope that maybe some magic can happen and we can get a result here.
All right. And Lou, any final thoughts as we head into a midweek tough matchup?
No, it's probably only going to be a downbeat if I say anything. So I think I'll let the podcast stand on a high note with Aaron's approach to the game, and hopefully history can repeat itself.
All right, I couldn't say it any better than that, and maybe Aaron Cresswell's got a little more magic left in his right boot this time. But that'll do it for us here, episode 69 in the books. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, come on, you Irons.